Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Monday, April 22nd, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. Officials in the Sitka School District will decide tonight what stays and what goes in the year ahead. The school board is trying to close a nearly $400,000 budget deficit, and it could make big cuts to get there. The first thing on the list of potential cuts is the activities director at Sitka High School. That job is responsible for scheduling sports and student activities, coordinating travel, finding housing for visiting teams, and more. PJ Ford Slack is the principal of Sitka High.
The assistant principal, the principal, and the activities director at Sitka High work in very close concert in order to pull off all the activities that we have going on. It's nonstop. It's not just a position that gets to go away because it's just a clerical position. It isn't that anymore. It is literally the glue that keeps all of this running for the kids at Sitka High.
Ford Slack says she's worried about where the job's duties will fall if the position is eliminated. She says the plan right now is for the director of community schools to assume the responsibilities.
My concern is, I've just explained, a very tight team. We communicate all the time. If that person already has a full-time job with community schools, I can see them being, you know, pulled in two different directions. And that's a very hard thing to do to someone.
State lawmakers did not raise the per-student allocation for school districts, though they did include extra money for schools to address security concerns. The other possible source of additional money is the federal government. The district gets money under a bill called the Secure Rural Schools and Communities Act, but school board president Lon Garrison says the law's future and the money that comes with it is far from certain.
That's the big one, you know, that we just don't know. And given how flaky Congress seems to be these days, you know, that's just a, who knows what's going to happen with that.
Still, the measure does have some hope of passage. Its elimination would have a severe effect on communities much larger than Sitka throughout the western United States.
The idea that nothing comes through for secure rural schools, given the impact that it will have certainly on Washington, Oregon, and California, that will decimate entire counties. And so the likelihood that we might get something there might be better.
The school board meets at 7 o'clock tonight inside the district office, which is attached to the back of Kikushahin Elementary School. It is expected to take public testimony before making decisions. If you want to study up before the meeting, we have all the notes you need. You can view the school district's own budget information, read earlier coverage of school funding, and view the entire list of potential cuts. It's all on our website, kcaw.org. State Senator Bert Stedman is concerned about how recent legislation will affect the state's treasury, and he says the hit to the state revenue will be felt first and hardest in Alaska's smaller communities. The Sitka Republican sat down last week with KRBD's Layla Carey for an end-of-the-session wrap-up focusing on the oil tax reform bill.
They weren't watching the cash cow. They were over in economic dreamland looking at what's, you know, potentially going to be produced in outlying areas, and that's not where the oil is, and that's not where the money's at.
Bert Stedman was one of a handful of Alaska senators who voted no on the governor's oil tax reform bill, and he remains convinced that it won't make a difference to the amount of oil flowing through the pipeline. He had some good things to say about the bill. It offers acceptable incentives for new exploration, for example, but Stedman says it gives too much away for oil that already is and has been in production.
And a good example, again, we go back to 2012. If all of that production in 2012 was already economic, pushing more money across the table and making it more economic doesn't fix the areas that aren't economic. You got to fix the uneconomic areas. Separate the two.
Stedman estimates the reduction in state revenue at $1.4 billion in the first year and about $1 billion in the second. Those who support the measure say the state will see an increase in production and revenue later, after the new tax structure has given oil companies a reason to invest. But Stedman says that's just expensive speculation.
You can't hemorrhage $1 billion to $1.5 billion a year for 10 years, hoping that somebody's going to produce more oil than they would otherwise do. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Some of those interesting developments will be state spending cuts, and Stedman predicts they'll primarily affect rural Alaska.
There's more elected representation out of the rail belt than there is in rural Alaska. And they'll circle their wagons and protect their own communities and it's going to be difficult in rural Alaska. So I think we're going to get hit first and hit hardest. And eventually it'll roll into the Anchorage area.
Stedman says Southeast Alaska already saw negative effects in this year's capital budget. He says that for all of Senate District Q, Governor Sean Parnell's capital budget was fair, but then many projects important to smaller communities were cut by the Senate. He says he understands the need to cut spending when revenue is down.
If we have tight fiscal times, everybody gets their belt sucked up, and that's just the way it is, and it's fair. But you don't loot the Treasury for hundreds of millions of dollars and leave vast tracts of Alaska out of the discussion. And that was the impetus, one of the main impetuses that formalized the creation of the Coastal Caucus within the Senate.
The Coastal Caucus formed in the latter part of the session. Stedman says it made a difference. Interior legislators responded, showing more interest in talking with members of the group. The Coastal Caucus will continue meeting, and Stedman says they'll have more influence next session.
It's a challenge in an environment that we have in Juneau, particularly in the Senate now, that sole focus is on the rail belt. So I think we need to broaden their horizons so we can move forward together. And then you'll see Southeast moving a little quicker. We might be stuck in the tar pit for another year.
Stedman introduced two measures that will come back next year. One is a resolution calling for the state to request a Tongass land transfer from the federal government. Stedman says such a transfer would improve development opportunities in Southeast Alaska. Another bill that received a lot of media attention was Stedman's call for a bounty on sea otters.
Yeah, well, I represent most of the sea otters as the senator for most of Southeast, and they're cute little cuddly guys. But their impact when you just let them overpopulate on the human side of the equation, I think, is substantial.
The bill initially proposed a $100 bounty for each legally harvested otter. Only Alaska natives are allowed to hunt sea otters according to the Federal Marine Mammal Protection Act. The original language of Stedman's bill likely could not have been enforced because of federal law. Stedman says he'll work on the language before the next session.
It'll probably move away from a $100 bounty and head more in the direction of some form of an incentive. It could be through help at the tanneries. It could be through marketing. We want to follow the federal law. Nobody's advocating, lawless frontier. But I think the federal government needs to be a little cognizant of the people that actually live here in Southeast. We're not just tenants of a park.
The sea otter population in Southeast Alaska has skyrocketed in recent years. Otters eat shellfish, and many commercial and subsistence fishermen say the large sea otter population has harmed the fisheries. Looking forward to the next session, Stedman says he expects the Coastal Caucus will work together on issues of mutual concern. Those include improvements to the Alaska Marine Highway, such as new ferries, as well as new Southeast energy projects and maintaining fisheries. In Ketchikan, I'm Leila Carey.
Alaska Airlines says furloughs for air traffic controllers could delay flights to Alaska. The company is warning customers in hub cities that flights could be delayed 50 minutes to 2 hours and aircraft landings could be reduced 30% to 40%. The airline based the warning on information provided by the Federal Aviation Administration. The agency says mandatory reduced federal spending has forced administrators to put some air traffic controllers on unpaid leave. Airports and hub cities outside Alaska are the most at risk of seeing delays, but interruptions in service could affect people trying to reach the state. Alaska Airlines officials said Sunday in an announcement it's not immediately canceling flights, but the company warned passengers to check the status of their flights. The Alaska Earthquake Information Center says a strong earthquake rattled the western Aleutian Islands, but was not felt by any Alaska communities. The epicenter was near the Andrianov Islands, 65 miles southwest of Adak Island. The quake hit at 5:48 a.m. Sunday at a depth of 29 miles with a preliminary magnitude recorded at 5.6. Adak is 1,300 miles southwest of Anchorage. A Fairbanks group says a new radio station with Roman Catholic Church content will begin broadcasting August 22nd. Little Flower Ministries is launching station KQHE. Board member Jason Sagers states the station will carry Catholic content, but considers itself a community radio station. The station will start out with Catholic programming and news coverage provided by EWTN, a global Catholic television, radio, and news network. Station founders hope to obtain content from other Catholic radio affiliates and eventually local programming. The station signal is expected to reach almost to Nenana, about 60 miles south of Fairbanks. Anchorage area residents are being told bears are waking up. Alaska Department of Fish and Game wildlife biologist Jesse Coltrane says black bears have been spotted near Far North Bicentennial Park in recent days. And Coltrane says more bears should be leaving their dens this week. Coltrane on Sunday addressed a couple of dozen people at the Eagle River Nature Center for a presentation on living and recreating in bear country. She says just about all of the Anchorage area can be considered bear habitat. Coltrane says now it's time for people to clean up their yards to remove anything that will attract hungry bears. And she encourages people who have chickens to install an electric fence to keep the bears out. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. And here's a look at Sitka Zone weather. It's currently overcast, 41 degrees. Today, cloudy, chance of rain with highs around 46, southeast wind 5 miles per hour. Tonight, rain is likely with lows around 36, east wind 10 miles per hour. Tuesday, cloudy with a chance of rain in the afternoon, highs around 48, south wind 5 miles per hour. Wednesday, rain is likely with highs around 48, west wind 10 miles per hour. Thursday, rain likely with lows around 38, highs around 47. Friday, mostly cloudy, chance of rain, highs around 48. And this weekend, mostly cloudy, highs around 47. You're listening to KCAW Sitka.